Recordings have started. Please proceed.
Thank you very much, Chuck. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GAC GNSO Consultation Group call on the 1st of October 2015. On the call today, we have Manal Ismail, Anna Nevis, Mason Cole, Mark Carvel, and Jonathan Robinson. We've received an apology from Carlos Raul Gutierrez. And from staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Olaf Nordling, Karine Percé, Julia Charvolin, and myself, Michael Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you.
Thank you, Natalie, and welcome everyone to the GAC GNSO Consultation Group conference call. We have circulated the agenda yesterday, I guess, and which is basically the same agenda Marika circulated earlier for the call that was cancelled. So I hope you have the chance to see the agenda and think about the different items on it. So let me first start by asking if there are any comments on the proposed agenda. So, okay, good. Then we can proceed directly with the first agenda item. So, we would like to review other phases of the GNSO PDP and discuss any other possible opportunities for GAC early engagement. So, just to refresh our minds, as you may recall, we have discussed the GAC early engagement at the very early stage of the GNSO PDP, which is the issue scoping, and have concluded with two main recommendations, the GAC quick look mechanism and the GNSO liaison to the GAC. We'll be discussing both of those recommendations again later on today's agenda. But for now, we will focus on the following stage of the PDP, which is the PDP initiation and working group. So basically, we need to discuss how to further enhance the GAC GNSO engagement at this stage. So Marika, would you like to walk us through the initiation phase? We can pause to take comments and then continue to the working group phase, if you don't mind.
Sure. Thank you, Manal. So this is Marika. So as Manal noted, the first two slides basically are the areas or the ground that we have already covered as part of our earlier conversations and the quick loop mechanism that was proposed. So basically what I've done is in slide 3 and 4, try to map out the next phases of the PDP and try to identify, first of all, outline what is the current process, and that is what you see highlighted in the blue white boxes. And then in red, I've included some suggestions on what could be potential ideas for additional mechanisms or ways to ensure GAC early engagement. And so it might be helpful, as I know not everyone may be as familiar with the PDP process as others, to just maybe walk through this part of the process, and that will hopefully allow you then as well to identify what could be potential ideas or suggestions that we may elaborate on further that would facilitate and encourage GAC early engagement. So basically what we're looking at is the initiation phase, so after the issue scoping phase, after which the final issue report is submitted to the GNSO Council, and the Council is then expected to take a decision on whether or not to initiate a policy development process. Just a small note there that in case the issue report was requested by the Board, there is no intermediate vote by the Council, and it actually moves straight on to the review of the draft charter, which is the second box on the top. So the process currently prescribes that if the issue report was requested by an advisory committee and the council decides not to initiate a PDP at that stage, that there's an option for the advisory committee to meet with the GNSO council to discuss the rationale for not initiating a PDP, following which the advisory committee can ask for a reconsideration, so for the council to again consider whether or not to initiate a policy development process. Maybe worth noting that this is actually something that was added to the PDP process as part of the last review that took place, and actually in practice, this has never been used so far. I think there have been, if I recall well, I think there have been two instances, if I'm not mistaken, whereby an issue report was requested by an advisory committee, and I think in both those instances, a PDP was initiated. But in either case, those two instances predated this option for a kind of engagement between the GNSO Council and the advisory committee that requested the preliminary issue report in the first place. So I noted here as well, of course, the same option would exist to the GAC if an issue report would have been requested by the GAC and the GNSO Council would decide not to initiate a policy development process. So if the Council does decide to initiate a policy development process, the next step is for the GNSO Council to consider the charter for the PDP working group. As part of our current process, a draft charter is included as part of the preliminary issue report to allow for public input and comment on that charter so that can already be incorporated as staff produces its final issue report. So at that stage, the Council has the choice to either review the charter that has been prepared by staff and possibly modified through the comments that have been received. It may also opt to decide to form a drafting team to either take that charter as a basis and adapt it based on input that may have been received from council members or constituency or stakeholder groups, or it could decide to completely start from scratch and form a drafting team to do that. As a brief note, the reason why we're now including the charter as part of the issue report is one of the as we call them, GNSO PDP improvements as an attempt to try and see if there are potential parts of the process in which the PDP can be streamlined and some time can be gained. And in this case, if the charter aligns with the views of the council, they have the ability to immediately adopt that, following which a working group can immediately be gathered and formed. So what I did note here, that in those cases where the GNSO Council would decide to form a drafting team, such a drafting team is typically open to anyone interested, although I think most of the times it's not something where we do a really broad call for volunteers, as charter drafting is considered as a very narrow exercise. Always care needs to be taken that those that join that effort don't mistake it with the actual work that needs to happen in the PDP working group. But for example, what I've highlighted here, one option that this group could consider, that in the case the GNSO Council decides to form a drafting team, and maybe especially in those cases where the PDP was, or the preliminary issue report was requested by an advisory committee, maybe a specific invitation should go out in those instances to the advisory committee or the GAC to invite them to participate in the development of the charter to make sure that the views of the group that requested the issue report in the first place are taken into account and heard. So that's the red box you see here. As said, at this stage, it's not limited per se, but neither is it specifically called out that outreach beyond the GNSO needs to be done if and when a drafting team is formed to develop a charter. So basically, once that step is complete, the charter has been adopted by the council, it basically moves up to the next phase in the process, which is the GNSO working group phase. And that is what you see on slide four. So basically, at the start of the process, a call for volunteers is launched, and that is prescribed in the GNSO PDP manual that call for volunteers needs to go out as broadly as possible. So this typically gets posted on GNSO website, ICANN website, included in the different newsletters, but it also typically goes out as an individual message to all the GNSO stakeholder groups constituencies, as well as all the SOs and ACs, including the GAC, of course. So I think, as you all know, every GNSO PDP working group is open to anyone interested to participate in. So once the working group is formed, there's also a requirement for the working group at the initial phases of its work to reach out to the different SOs and ACs to obtain early input. So typically that's done in the form of an email communication in which the working group may identify specific questions or I know as well there have been instances where the working group has developed a survey that's really intended to, you know, gather information at a very early stage, different viewpoints from the different groups on the specific issues so that they can be taken into account as part of the working group deliberation. And what you see here in the red box, and I think that is something that was foreseen as well as part of the quick look mechanism, that for those issues that the GAC had identified as having specific public policy implications, that would also be the triggering point for the GAC to start developing more substantive input that then could be provided at this stage. So the idea is that that would be aligned, and it would be interesting to hear from GAC participants on the call if that is something that is already happening, for example, on those PDPs that are currently flagged as, you know, having public policy implications. And I'm specifically thinking, for example, about the new GTLD, next generation RDS, or what comes after, who is a PDP that is moving into its next phase shortly. So basically, after all that input is gathered, you know, the working group reviews that and develops an initial report, which is then is published for public comment. So the idea is then that, of course, that public comment announcement goes out as well to all the different groups, and they're requested to provide their input. And here I put in a suggestion, and again, these are just suggestions to start up the conversations. You may have other ideas or suggestions on what may work at that stage. One option would be that at that stage, the GAC could, of course, take that initial report and specifically review it against the input that has been provided and how those issues have been addressed. One other thing that, for example, could be considered is whether there should be a specific obligation on the working group to provide specific details in its initial report on how it has addressed or how it has considered the GAC input, and specifically in those instances where it may have disagreed with that input, to provide a rationale as to why it has taken a different approach than what the GAC has recommended. So based on the input that is provided as part of the public comment period, the working group then reviews all that input, and there's an obligation as well for the working group to, you know, go through each of those comments and provide feedback on how it considered those comments, and also provide an indication as to where changes have been made based on the input provided. So that is also a document that is provided with the final report to the GNSO Council, so that it's clear to the Council and as well anyone that has provided input what has been done with the input, and, you know, why it was or why it wasn't taken into account as the final report was published. So that basically ends this phase of the work. I haven't done yet the next phase, which is the Council deliberation phase, and I think that is probably an area where additional consideration may need to be given to what options exist, because you can think, for example, about if a working group decides not to agree with the GAC input that has been provided, while the GAC strongly feels that, you know, there is a good reason why it should be factored in, maybe there are opportunities or is a need for further engagement between the GAC and the GNSO Council to discuss that, or whether it's something that's taken back to the working group. So I think there's some further thinking that may go into that part of the conversation. So I think that basically covers what I wanted to share, and really would be interested to hear now what ideas or suggestions you may have as a group on what other things we may want to explore, whether some of the suggestions I've provided, is it worth writing those out in more detail for further consideration? Because I think the idea would be similar to what has been done with the quick look mechanism. If we can identify specific ways in which early engagement and input can be encouraged, that we may pilot them in a certain way and try out whether that actually works, so that after that we can see whether we need to kind of formalize some of those engagement opportunities, either as a, you know, standing passes or whether those should be written into to the PDP manual. I see a question from Mark that he didn't understand the reference to the streamlining opportunity for the PDP, and I can briefly comment on that. I think, as many as you know, there's always quite a bit of criticism on the fact that a PDP takes pretty long, you know, to get through start to finish, you're easily looking at 2 to 3 years. So as part of an exercise that the Council undertook to look at what are some of the opportunities where potential streamlining can be done to, you know, gain some time, with of course, without undermining the process as it stands and the multi-stakeholder model. So one of those opportunities that was identified that was, instead of waiting for the initiation of the PDP and then form a group that would start developing a charter, which, because we mapped out some of the timelines, which could easily take another 6 months, we said, why don't we explore the possibility of including a draft charter as part of the preliminary issue report, so the community can comment on it and provide feedback. And then at the final issue report, we can incorporate any feedback that may have been received. And at least at that stage, the council has an opportunity to either, you know, adopt that charter if they feel that it, you know, it scopes the issue well and it outlines the issues as it has been, as they've been captured in the issue report. Or it can just say, no, we actually don't like that charter. You know, we still form that drafting team and we'll go through that separate process. But as a, just as a, you know, example, I think for the last couple of PDPs, I think, most, if not all, actually, the council immediately adopted the charter together with initiation, which basically means that indeed a 6 month period has been gained on the overall timeline of the process. So I hope that that makes more sense.
Thank you very much, Marika. So, Mark, I hope this addressed your question. I can see your hand. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes, thank you, Manal, and thank you, Marika. Yes, it does. I think it's could be quite important. I mean, the GAC may take a view after considering the issues related to a potential policy development, that there is some urgency. So, the GAC may say, you know, will this really take 2-3 years? Could it actually be speeded up? And what are the opportunities for doing that? So I was just sort of quite interested in that as a point for consideration at that early stage. I think that's quite valuable. But that was my reason. Thank you. Thanks for the response. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. Jonathan?
Thanks, Manal. Hi, everyone. I think this chart and Marika's explanation were very helpful, and they educational to me, and I hope to others. So it's very useful to capture that flow and that position. I suppose what we perhaps need now almost is, and I hope I'm not jumping the gun here, but we almost need a menu of, or a list of options,
from the reactions I heard that it is, and then see whether there are other suggestions or ideas that we can also consider at this stage. So,
sorry, this is Marika. My audio just dropped,
yes,
for the last few minutes, so I started capturing the first part of Jonathan's suggestion, but I didn't get the rest.
I think Jonathan was saying that it makes a lot of sense that we invite the advisory committee or the requester of the PDP to participate, and I also, but again, Jonathan, you can repeat yourself if you feel I'm not reflecting that accurately. And also he suggested that we can see what other suggested mechanisms we can use at this step, which I also see is a good suggestion and a good point here on the slide to pose, agree on the red box and see whether we can introduce any other further mechanisms at this stage. So I think at least we can take this as agreement to introduce this invitation, specific invitation to the GAC to provide input to the drafting team, right? Okay, if we don't have further comments, I can use Jonathan. Jonathan, go ahead, please.
Yeah, just to be crystal clear, that specific invitation is if and when the GAC in this case, or in fact any other advisory committee, was the initiator of the issue report. Because normally we would expect the GNSO to be generating its own policy development process and work within and to initiate it. But there's a special example where the GAC or another advisory committee or group might initiate a PDP, and under those circumstances the suggestion and that I responded positively to was we should then explicitly invite that group as early as the chartering phase, notwithstanding Marika's point about the fact that the substantial work gets done in the working group. It just makes sure that that group that was instrumental in initiating the work is instrumental in architecting the issue report as well. Thanks.
Yes, thank you for highlighting this, Jonathan. It's an important point. Definitely inviting the requester themselves would help put everyone on the same page early enough. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. And something to note as well, and of course, I don't think we didn't need to spell out every step of the way, but you could see a situation as well where if the council is actually considering adopting the charter together with the initiation, where the GAC could, for example, if they do believe further consideration needs to be given or discussion, I think nothing would prevent the GAC from reaching out to the GNSO council saying, hey, actually, we have some concerns about the charter. Can we talk about it? Or are you willing to consider forming a drafting team so we have an ability to discuss it? So I think as well, it's important that I think the GAC sees as well that even if it's not formally spelled out, there are other ways in which, at various points of the process, there are ways to engage with the GNSO, either through chair communications or sending a letter or other ways, to make sure that views are heard at an early stage in the process.
So can we say here that this specific invitation would go to the GAC like in two cases, if the GAC initiated a request for a PDP, which I don't happen till now, or if the GAC quick look mechanism responded positively and said they are interested in a specific PDP? So does this make sense? Olo?
Thanks,
thank you, Manal. Well, actually, I was rather going to jump on something that Mark mentioned in the chat, and also that, well, the very useful development that, that Marika has started here to line up various ways on proceeding beyond the quick look mechanism. And just to comment, because Mark mentioned, should GAC proceed to form a subgroup at this stage? And probably yes, I think. Well, there are a number of ways, and they've been a little bit considered, but not in depth. And as far as I know, we have, for example, in one case, tried to graft the next step into an existing GAC working group. Another option is, of course, to establish a new GAC working group or a subgroup of some nature, or to have a rapporteur. And it has even been mentioned that to operationalize the consultation group to have a role in that regard. Which I just mentioned this, that we are at the very early stages in advancing the steps beyond the quick look mechanism. And so there are things to be done, and I would suggest that this becomes one of the core discussion points at the GAC GNSO meeting in Dublin. So thank you.
Thanks all for the response. Yes, I didn't notice Mark's question, so thank you. And let me say, I understand this is already taking place now. I mean that we at the GAC, we already start considering those subgroups, whether, as you mentioned, all of an existing working group or otherwise, immediately after responding through the quick look mechanism. I mean, when we receive the alert from the GNSO through the liaison, and then we respond positively on a certain topic that the GAC is interested in, and this would imply public policy issues, then I believe we immediately start looking into how are we going to organize ourselves internally in the GAC to start thinking and developing input to this. And I think already we have a topic or two that were assigned to already existing working groups. But I stand to be corrected, of course. If we don't have further comments on this stage, we can move to the following one regarding the working group. If I can see Mark Arvel, please go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, Manal. Well, I think Olof was signaling we should discuss this stage and the potential modalities and options at our joint meeting in Dublin. I think that's a good idea, if I understood Olof correctly. So we need to feed that into the agenda setting for the GAC GNSO meeting in Dublin, I think. Just one thought, kind of related, and I don't want to sound like anticipating a more doom-laden situation, but if the GAC at this stage felt it would be against the policy development, there might be an extreme situation like that, I suppose. would we require a specific process if the GAC were to go back at this stage, say, don't even think about it. This is, if you go down this route of developing a policy on this issue, you won't have the governmental support. What? How do we accommodate that situation? Is it covered in the existing timeline planning? I just like that as one point to make. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark. I don't think it is, but I'll give Marika the floor. But I also had a similar question, but I'll keep it till later. So, Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. So I think, you know, as part of what we're doing now is trying to identify, indeed, what are all the steps in the process in which, you know, GAC early engagement can be encouraged, and by which as well, you know, the genosome can respond to that and you know, engage in conversations and discussions around that input. But I think as well, if we look back at the charter, I think there is this question, and I think that's why we partly as well started at the starting point of the PDP and are working our way towards the end of it, that of course there may be a situation that even going through all these steps of the process, there may still be a situation whereby, you know, the Genosphere Council adopts policy recommendations that do not align with GAC advice and where or the GAC position, and whereby the GAC may provide a different set of advice directly to the board. And I think one of the questions in the charter, and I don't remember exactly how it is worded, is indeed whether this group should also look or could consider what kind of mechanism should be put in place to deal with those kind of situations without, you know, having to put the board in the position of, you know, choosing one child over another. Are there then at that stage further kind of engagement or consultation mechanisms that could be envisioned that would allow, you know, the GNSO and the GAC to get closer together and try to work through their issues before the board is brought in to make a decision? But of course, I think at least from my and maybe staff's perspective, of course, the hope is by having all these early engagement opportunities, we won't get into that kind of situation, because hopefully the concerns are considered and addressed at a very early stage in the process. And through this, the continuous engagement on both sides, there's as well increased understanding of what the issues may be and solutions can be found that are mutually acceptable. But you know, nevertheless, I think it is a scenario that, you know, by going through the different phases, will at the end will end up in that potential scenario. And I think the idea is that hopefully we'll have some ideas and suggestions then as well as what kind of process could be put in place or used to deal with a situation whereby there may be different views really at the end of the process that are being put forward to the board.
Thank you, Marika. And actually, my question was going to be, what if the GAC provides an input that is not in line with whatever the GNSO has in mind? But again, back to Mark's question, and Mark, do you see a possibility that the GAC can, at the very early stage, see that this topic, we should not proceed in discussing this topic or initiate a PDP for a certain topic, despite the fact that we've already passed through the initial quick look mechanism and we already will have responded one way or another, either that the GAC is not interested or the GAC is interested or the GAC may be interested at a later stage. So maybe what you mentioned probably could fit early in the issue scoping phase, earlier than this phase. But again, I'm not sure. I'm just thinking out loud. So, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, well, Manal, yes, what I was thinking was, okay, we will have signaled at that earlier stage interest by the GAC. This is an issue that does raise public policy concerns. it may be quite a complex issue, but that fact will be readily identifiable. The GAC will need to look at this seriously and provide input. And then that interest will mature to a level of greater understanding, greater exploration of consequences, and then and also GAC representatives will have consulted stakeholder groups at the national level and within their administration as appropriate. And there, the trend may be towards this is a non-starter, but that will take time, and maybe by this stage, the charter stage, a developing maturity, as I say, of the issue and expectations and understanding, governments may feel this is not going to go anywhere. I'm just thinking of that kind of scenario. Maybe a very extreme and highly unlikely scenario, but conceivably it could happen. I know, from, as we all do in government, sometimes we hit on a great idea and then talk to people, consult, and gradually it gets demolished and put on the back burner and eventually maybe even completely dismantled as too much effort, too controversial, whatever. So I'm just thinking of that kind of situation. It's possible, conceivably, that might happen. But it's not apparent in the early stage of the quick look and the initial issue exposition. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Yeah, it's a good point to be taken into consideration, of course. I think part of our work here is to also look into the extremes and where conflict happens. So thank you again. So I think we discussed this page thoroughly, and we can conclude elaborate on this over email and when we receive the notes of the meeting. So we're running out of time. So if we can go to the next page and also focus on the new steps, the two red boxes where input is requested from the GAC, and also the GAC will have an opportunity during the public comment period to see how its input has been reflected or considered in the document. And again, here, do we see those boxes useful? I personally do. And do we have any other suggestions or any further steps that need to be introduced? I personally think here we will need to think maybe of two things. What if the input provided from the GAC to the GNSO does not align with what the GNSO have in mind? So it is that early clear that the points of view do not align. And again, when the initial report is out and does not consider the GAC input, or the GAC input is not reflected as the GAC would have hoped, then again, what happens here? So, Marika?
This is Rick. I think building on what Manal said, and also the comments that Marv made, I'm wondering as well if something could be foreseen here. And again, I think it's something then as well for probably the GNSO representatives to consider, whether there should be some kind of dialogue. And I don't know if that should happen at the working group level or at the GNSO council level, between the working group and GNSO council and the GAC, if indeed input is provided. And as part of the initial report, the working group has actually decided that, for whatever reason, not to go ahead or not to agree with the YAC input, whether at that stage some kind of dialogue should be foreseen. But I think the question is partly like, how would that dialogue be managed or by whom? How can you make sure as well that it doesn't, of course, either disadvantage other groups that may have also provided input and feedback? So I think it's something where, indeed, I think it is important that if there are ways and mechanisms that dialogue can be promoted and mutual understanding and as well mutual solutions can be found, but how to make sure, indeed, that it's framed in such a way that it's not seen as a kind of bilateral negotiation between two parties, but also, indeed, at what level should that kind of conversation take place?
Thank you, Marika. Yes, you're right. And also, Mark indicated that the liaison role here is important to ensure the effective coordination between the GAC and the GNSO, which also Mason confirmed. Again, I think those would be also points for discussion with our constituencies during the meetings in Dublin. So, do we have any further comments on this phase of the PDP and how to engage the GAC early at this stage, Olo?
Thank you, Manal. Yeah, well, Olo,
you can.
Yes. Can you hear me? Very briefly, that is one of the boxes that a committee is formed, and I think we shouldn't preclude what precisely the mechanism would be from the GAC side. As I said, we're in the experimentation stage on the next step, so it could be a committee, it could be an existing working group, could be some kind of other subgroup, could be and so on. So committee in inverted commas or something, just for clarity, so people don't think that if we present this to old GAC, that this is a foregone conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, all of you. Yes, good point. And I think we will need to consider those while drafting our concrete recommendations. I assume we'll be following what we did at the earlier stage of the issue scoping. Any further comments on this agenda item, Marika?
Yes, this is Marika. Just responding to Mark's point, he says GAC should see a draft of final report. It's just to note that all working group products or every single draft, those are always publicly posted. So those are already available at an early stage. And I think we've touched upon that point before, and it's not something specifically called out here, but there's something you may want to reconsider, and I know that there's certain concerns associated with that, but whether you would have either someone, you know, either the whole committee or one person from the committee or whatever form it may take in the GAC, actually follow the working group conversation, so that person would also be in a position to, at an early stage, flag if there are specific issues that are not, you know, going in the direction that align with the input that has been provided by the GAC, or if there's misunderstanding around, you know, what the GAC has provided. I know that there's certain constraints that may be associated with that, because, of course, that person cannot speak on behalf of the GAC unless, I guess, it's a, you know, confirmed GAC position, and some may still see that person as a kind of way to engage with the GAC, so it would really need to be very well scoped. But it, something along those lines would make it easier for the GAC to follow along the process and be able at an earlier stage already see whether something goes in a direction that, you know, is in support or aligns with a GAC position or not. It's something, for example, that I think some GNSO stakeholder groups and constituency do. They have, you know, they have multiple people from their groups participating, but they typically assign one person as a kind of lead who is responsible for as well briefing back to the group, but also taking messages to the working group on behalf of those of the stakeholder group or constituency. So it is something that, you know, the GAC may want to consider if there's value in exploring something along those lines, as that may also help keeping up to date as the working group goes through the motions and allow the GAC as well to provide guidance along the way, again, especially when it comes to clarifications or information that may be missing from working group deliberations.
Thank you, Marika. I'm just minded that we only have 10 minutes remaining for the call, and we still have two agenda items. I know this is an important one, that we can continue this discussion and utilize the mailing list, and we can fine-tune and conclude our recommendations on the mailing list. So if we don't have any other pressing comments, can we move to the following agenda item? Okay, so it's review of the implementation of the quick loop mechanism. And here I think it would be good to quickly know which PDPs used the quick loop mechanism and how did this work in practice, and again if we have any suggestions for improvement. So let me ask first if we know how many or what are the PDPs that already used the quick loop mechanism. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. So as far as I'm aware, I think there are two PDPs for which the quick look mechanism has been enacted. So the first one is the purpose of GTLW registration data, or the next generation RDS PDP, and the second one is the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP. I think for both of those, we kind of followed the process where I think Mason provided official notification to the GAC secretariat that an issue report had been requested on those topics. For those, then we would get feedback back from the GAC, which at least for the RDS one has been incorporated. And I think that feedback was also submitted to the public comments. And if I may, I think at least from a staff side, I think there's a bit of streamlining we may be able to do with regards to the communication aspect, because I think now there are quite a few emails that go back and forth. And actually, at least from my personal perspective, it looks like that the GAC input is actually coming much earlier than we had anticipated when we developed the process. Because I think the idea was it would give very early notice, so the GAC input would be provided as part of the public comments. But I think what we've seen now is that the input is actually already provided when we're still drafting the report, which, of course, is very helpful, but it wasn't how we initially had set up the process. So that may be something to reflect upon, as well as I think where we need to see how we can make sure that communications are publicly tracked and traced, and we need to think of what would be the best location to do that, as some of it has gone now through email communications, although after asking as well, some of it had been submitted to the public comment forum, so it's also there in the public domain. So that's at least from my personal perspective, some of the feedback, and maybe it's helpful, and I think that was requested as well in the last meeting. I can work with Olaf, and we can kind of write up what has happened so far, and maybe from both of our perspectives also provide some input on from a staff perspective, where we see there may be opportunities to improve or modify the process. And then, of course, very interesting to hear as well from others like Mason, who's actively engaged in that process, to see what are other points that the group may want to consider or think about. And to know that I think a third PDP for which we'll use it as well is coming soon, which is the one on the RPMs. And I believe what we said, or at least the recommendation I think the GNSO Council made in when they supported this process, whether that there should be at least, I think, five PDPs for which the mechanism would have been used. following which, you know, the consultation group should review and suggest, you know, whether it's working or not, whether modifications need to be made. And I think at that stage, further consideration can be given as well to, you know, should this be formalized and written into, for example, the PDP manual.
Thank you, Marika. Good to know that this is an effective mechanism to use. So, Olof, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. And on continuing along that line, from the GAC side, I think we were not entirely sure whether it would be useful to provide input earlier than was actually planned, or if it's been rather a drawback. So that would be interesting to know as well from the GNSO side. As you mentioned, Marika, we supplied the quick look comments too early, perhaps. And I just wonder, was it too early, or that's part of the evaluation, of course, but are there advantages and drawbacks of early notices? Thank you.
Thanks, Olof. Definitely it would be interesting to hear from GNSO colleagues whether that very, very early input might have its own drawbacks as well. So, Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. And to Olof's specific question, I think that the downside is that it may create more work for the GAC, because I think at least from, you know, GNSO perspective or from, you know, staff perspective responsible for drafting issue reports, the idea was more that the quick look mechanism would look at the preliminary issue report and kind of say, oh, wait, you know, you're missing things and, you know, the GAC input is not properly recorded here. Although, if of course, it's early, provided at an early stage, we can really make sure that it's in there. But now it may mean that it's actually a two-step process for the GAC, where on the one hand, provide us at a very early stage the input that staff can incorporate, and then once the issue report is public for public comment, you may need to have another look to make sure that we did it correctly and whether there's still anything that, you know, you want to comment on, which, at least from my perspective, I don't think is a bad thing. But of course, it would put more work on the GAC or the quick loop committee to do that in that sequence. So I think that is something where the GAC may want to consider if that is indeed you want to make that a two-step process, or whether you say, okay, let's actually wait until the preliminary issue report, and if indeed, you know, you still need to raise that flag on whether, you know, it has public policy implications or not, but you know, at least you can see at that stage whether GAC input or advice that has been provided at earlier stages is accurately captured or not. So.
Thanks a million.
Perfect, thank you. So, could you kindly, I'm sorry, could you please repeat the three PDPs, because Mark, I think, is asking about the third one, just before we move forward.
The third one that is coming, and I think we expect it will be published probably right before Dublin, is on the review of the right protection mechanism. So that's the UDRP and the other RPMs that were introduced as part of the new GTLD program.
Thank you, Marika. So I think we can conclude on this agenda item. We can put our this feedback in writing. And again, I think it's something to be shared with our constituencies during our joint session, and maybe also hear back from them if there is any specific feedback from their side. Let me ask first, so can we afford to postpone the fifth agenda item on the review of the GNSO liaison, because we're almost at the hour, or will we have a problem with the timeline for the fiscal year budget and so on? or let me also ask a relevant question. Do we plan to have another call before Dublin? Oh, Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. And maybe just a suggestion here, and you know, maybe what staff can do is as part of the kick off this conversation, maybe we can have a look back at the original, you know, call or job description we put together and see, you know, have those, because you know, I think we set out as well what the objectives were, and we can maybe see indeed, you know, put those together and maybe work as well with Mason to identify are there any, you know, specific questions we should be asking, and maybe that's a helpful starting point for the group to look at. With regards to timing, I actually need to confirm what the FY17 budget planning cycle is. I know that they've, I think, just kicked off that conversation. But as a, I think, a point of reference for the previous rounds, I think any special budget requests needed to be submitted, I think, in the February-March timeframe. So there is some time. The only thing, of course, is to know that if you know, what would be good, indeed, if there is a strong indication already from the group that this is something that should continue, and may already something as well that you may want to put on the agenda for the joint meeting to see, indeed, if, you know, what is the, what are the perspectives so far? Is this helpful? Is it something that should become a standard feature? And of course, we can already, you know, share that and see if it can be become, you know, integrated as part of the budget as one of the, you know, standing slots. Which of course doesn't mean that if in the end of the day you decide that it's no longer needed, then of course we can just, you know, pull it off there. But at least at that stage, we may not need to do it anymore as a special project and have a special request, but we integrate it as part of the standard budget if indeed both the GNSO and GAG give an indication that this is useful and expected to continue beyond you know, the current term of or the current duration of the pilot project, which is the end of this fiscal year.
Thank you, Marika. So I think at least we can, as a way forward, we can at least conclude that it is a useful thing to continue. We agree that it continues. We can work the details and hear also from Mason. So can everyone stay like 5 minutes more? We can hear from Mason also his feedback. So if we don't, Mason, go ahead, please.
Hi, can you hear me, Manal?
Yes, we can.
Good. Mason speaking. Generally speaking, I think the liaison role has gone fairly well. This consultation has spent quite a bit of time establishing process and not as much time engaging with between the GNSO and the GAC on the process. As Marika pointed out, there's been there are two PDPs where GAC input has been forthcoming, and one more coming down the line. So, you know, it's my hope that the liaison role has been helpful to the GAC in terms of organizing its capability to have input into GNSO processes, and I think we're there. It's just a question now of actually providing the input and reconciling that input with the direction of the GNSO as it was previously discussed. But I'm very happy to review this role. I think it would be a healthy thing to do, and maybe there are improvements even that could be made to the role going forward.
Thank you, Mason. And yes, we're equally happy with the call, and we can all feel the difference, and we can also hope to hear from you if you have any challenges or any suggestions can facilitate your task. We will be more than happy also to work on this. So again, mindful of the time, and I do apologize that we're a bit late. So do we have any further comments for now, or anything? Does anyone have anything to raise under the AOB agenda item? So if not, one final question. Do we foresee another call before Dublin, or we can continue online over email? So let me put it the other way now. Do we feel a need for another call before Dublin? So anyway, again, this is something that we can agree on the mailing list. Yeah, I would have hoped that we can have maybe another one call to conclude before Dublin. I'm aware of the very tight time and the too many things running in parallel. So again, I can understand if we choose to continue this over email. But again, we can take this online later. I do apologize for keeping you late, and thank you all for your participation. And if no one else has any other comments, we can conclude. So, seeing none, so thank you all for joining. If you can, please stop the recording, and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.